You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Student journalists get handed lots of assignments. Some you may forget as soon as you turn in the story. Others give you a brush with history. In May 1968, a 20-year-old University of Michigan student named Andy Sachs got an assignment from the Michigan Daily. Grab your camera and go cover a Democratic presidential candidate's campaign stop in Detroit. That candidate, Robert F. Kennedy. His motorcade took him to the West Side neighborhood that had exploded into rioting just 10 months earlier. Among the photos Andy Sachs took that day was one of a tiny girl reaching up from the crowd to grasp Kennedy's hand. 3 weeks later, Robert Kennedy was assassinated in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. But that photo of the little girl and RFK resurfaced a half century later, and remarkably, it brought the photographer and that little girl together. And they're here with us now. Andy Sachs, welcome. Good to have you with us.
It's nice to see you, Cynthia.
And we are happy to welcome Michigan Medicine registered nurse Sybil Martin, who was the little girl in Andy's photo. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is really just an amazing period in American history, Andy, when you think of 51 years ago. What do you remember most about covering Robert Kennedy's trip to Detroit?
The crowds, the excitement, and the opportunity to be with some of the best photographers on the planet who were also crowded into that pair of convertibles that the press corps was afforded that day. So they put about 10 of us in each one of those. I think they were Chevy Impala convertibles. One preceded the candidate's car and one followed.
And you were ahead of him.
Yes.
You were ahead of him.
Yeah.
And you take these pictures, and of course, you had to wait until you get back to the darkroom and develop them to realize what you have. That photo of the little girl, first of all, just describe it for us. I want to hear your description.
Well, this was kind of like a big festival on the street there. This was on 12th and Claremont, and this was basically the epicenter of the disturbance from the previous summer. Probably shooting at a 250th of a second at f/8. All the cameras in those days were manual focus, and you had to set them manually. You had to look at the light up in the sky and kind of pick what f-stop you thought was right. Some of these cameras had light meters on them, but it was better to make your own decisions. And we just were in a great position to see what was going on in that our car was traveling at the same speed as Kennedy's car. So it was a great moving platform. And you just shoot a lot and figure that you're going to get something that's going to be interesting. This picture never ran in the Michigan Daily paper. Really, the first time it saw the light of day was on Chris Matthews' biography.
50 years later.
Yes, yes.
When you saw this photo and you have this little girl with the beret in her hair and she's reaching out and they're grabbing hands, what are the things that jump out at you?
Well, it's that song lyric, Reach Out and Touch Somebody. I was in 10th grade, I believe, when Bobby Kennedy's brother was assassinated, and that forever changed the way I looked at politics and the way life was lived in America. He wasn't the reincarnation of his brother, but he was a close match, and it was just really special to be there.
And we're going to talk about how you and Sybil found each other many, many years later. But first, Sybil, what do you remember about that day, May 15th, 1968? How old were you?
So I was 4 and a half.
Okay.
I'm going on 5 in that October. But I remember shaking his hand. I don't remember who I rode in the car with, how I got there, but I do remember shaking his hand. I do remember it was a story that we always talked about, we giggled about. It's something that we shared with our friends. My brother, he had a lot of detail as well. Remember, after I shook his hand, he says, I grabbed your hand, and I looked at it, and I said, I remember that mole that you have on your hand. He said, it was just so wonderful. So,
what do you remember about Robert Kennedy's face as he looked at you?
Oh, my gosh. As an adult now, I would say he was super, super good looking. He had beautiful eyes. His smile was very attractive. So as a kid, I remember saying, oh, my gosh, he is super nice. Didn't know him from anybody. Mm-hmm. Didn't know why I was shaking his hand. But I just remember kindness. It was amazing as an adult looking back.
Through the years, did people believe you when you grew up to say, yes, I shook Robert Kennedy's hand? Did people believe you?
No, and I think I shared it more so with, like, friends,
yeah.
Probably. It probably rolled off the top of their head. It was probably no big deal. Mm. My brother told tons of people. And no one ever believed him.
And I know you went on to become a registered nurse. You work at University of Michigan Medical and Rehabilitation. And Andy, you can boast a very long and illustrious career as a freelance photographer in the Detroit area. So here, I'm interested first, how did you find this picture and then find Andy?
Well, my brother was watching the playoffs. So I guess the Chiefs or whoever he wanted to, when they weren't winning to make it. So he said, I just decided to serve. So then he said that he was looking at a documentary on Robert F. Kennedy.
This was in
January,
early
February.
Winter. Yeah.
Yeah. So he said he got dates and said he began to Google. And so he called me hysterically. He's like, oh, my gosh. So, well, I knew it. I knew it. I said, what's going on? He said, your picture is on the Internet. I said, what do you mean? He said, I want you to Google Robert F. Kennedy Lifetime. And so I Googled it, and I was shocked. So that's how I found it.
And you knew?
Oh, yeah.
And was the photographer's name credited so you could start doing some digging?
I think it was because I Googled RFK1968.com, and then it linked to Mr. Sachs or Andy's
website.
His website.
Yeah.
So what did you think when you get this
message? I got a voicemail. Yeah. We're in the modern era. You don't talk to anybody directly anymore. She left a message and said, I think it was something like, I believe you took my picture 50 years ago. Wasn't it something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. What did that feel like?
Well, we had been wondering who she was, where she was. And a friend of mine who worked in Detroit a lot said, you know, you could try and put up flyers to ask, you know, anyone
you
who
know
knows this girl,
face?
Put them up in the bar or the beauty shop or the barber shops, or, you know. But you're probably going to get 25 people stepping forward and saying that they're all hers. So we didn't do any of that. And when she called, I was just tickled. I just thought, okay, this is a lead. But I was a little skeptical until Sybil said, I remember that barrette. My mother had me put that in my hair because she was always kind of down on me for having a messy hairdo. I thought, this is a detail of someone who was trying to play me would not raise.
So Chris Matthews' book, Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit, comes out to mark the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
And what is on the cover but your photo, no credit. How did that happen to you?
Well, I didn't know it wasn't credited until I kind of did some investigating.
Yeah,
I saw the picture. Chris would hold the book up on TV, talk about it. My wife said, you know, that looks like one of yours, but you haven't gotten any sales notice or any licensing information from Getty. They were handling this image with about a dozen others, and I didn't see anything come through. So I thought, well, it's probably somebody else was in that convertible with me at the same time, same place. And lo and behold, I look and it says Bill Eppridge is credited for the picture.
And this is a legendary name.
Bill Eppridge was a Life magazine photographer. He was at the top of his game. He had done some extraordinary work that I followed when I was in high school and again in college. Unfortunately, he's best known now for the last picture he took of Bobby Kennedy lying on the floor in that hotel kitchen. But he was riding in the convertible with me that day. So when he got the photo credit instead of me, I thought, well, maybe we just released our shutters at the exact same moment. And I thought, that's that. Until about 4 or 5 days later, I started doing some real comparison. The picture that was on the agency website to the book cover, and there was no doubt that it was my photograph. So there we are.
Now, I know you have in front of you, is that 4 editions of the hardcover?
Yes.
None of which are credited to you, but I will say in my hand, I am holding the soft cover. And if you look down at the bottom, cover photograph by Andrew Sachs. You finally got credit.
A year later. But, you know, it was very disappointing and actually annoying to have them tell me they were going to correct it. They did a second printing. They did a third printing. They did a fourth printing. The book was on the New York Times bestseller list. By Christmas, they had sold 285,000 copies, all with the wrong guy's name.
And people have to understand, that's how a freelance photographer makes his living, is being paid for his work.
Well, tear sheets and credits like this
are
really important.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeking some sort of, you know, redress from the publisher. But, you know, now, Cynthia, I'm hoping that I can convince them to establish an endowment at the Michigan Daily so that other kids can have the same opportunity that I did when I was 20 years old. You know, it's not as easy to come to the university these days. When I was a freshman and I joined the Michigan Daily, my tuition for that semester was $144.
When you look back, in the final few moments we have here, you look back at that photo from the perspective of 51 years later. Sybil, what does this picture say to you?
It looks like people are looking for an answer, but then the people that are there, we don't know whatever happened to them.
And what does it say to you, Mandy, when you look at this moment?
A moment of hope, optimism, unfortunately not realized.
3 weeks later.
Yeah. We got out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning the evening he lost his life, and we put out a special edition of the Michigan Daily just because we were all so taken with the hope and the promise of his candidacy. Johnson had resigned just a few months before that, and the country was in real turmoil. And as young people, I was 20 years old, we were looking for some leadership, some hope. And
between the civil unrest, the Vietnam War, turmoil.
How
can people find your website to be able to look at some of the work you've done?
Just like Sybil did, it's rfk1968.com.
There you go. There are certainly some wonderful shots to look at. I could talk to you guys for hours. So I want to thank you so much for sharing this wonderful story and bringing us really embodying this very, very special moment in our history. Sybil Martin, Andy Sachs, thank you so very much for being with us on Stateside.
Well, you're welcome, Cynthia.